listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Clyde plays electric bass. Plays it with finesse and grace. Set on a porch, ain't got no shoes. Picking the bass and singing the blues. Company. This old dog sings harmony. Tambourine tied to his tail. You can hear him moan, you can hear him wail.
Radio Public Broadcasting Network, March 17, 2019. CindyRadio.chatango.com and CindyRChat.chatango.com are the chat rooms. And then we have Hooli'sBlog.blogspot.com. You'll have the archive there, commercial free in the morning. And you'll have it here at RBN, RepublicBroadcasting.org. Let's jump right into this. I've got Dr. Jim Fetzer, a regular on the program. And then we have another gentleman, Scott Bennett, who I've never interviewed, former Army psychological operations guy, whistleblower. I used to hear him quite often on Susan Lindauer's Covert Report. And so we're going to jump into this Christchurch thing, this very disturbing operation, let's just say, that went down there. And I'm going to kind of get out of the way for these guys, but there's so many elements that I read this manifesto today, and I've watched the footage a couple times, and there's so much here. When I was looking at these weapons, it reminded me of Aaron Alexis, my ELF weapon at the Navy shipyard incident some time ago. We have this white nationalist manifesto. Some strange things here. And I wanted to bring up two things, and then we're going to let the guys kind of go at it. But I saw a couple things in the manifesto. One of them where he's asking, like, hypothetical questions to himself. One of them is this. Are you a Fed / shill / Mossad agent / false flag, patsy, infiltrator, Antifa, glow-in-the-dark, etc.? No, but the next person to attack could be, so a healthy skepticism is a good thing. Just do not allow your skepticism to turn to paranoia and keep you from supporting those that want the best for you. And then I saw this one. This one got me really kind of wondering, since this guy's allegedly an Australian, and I've got some video clips to play later about this guy visiting Israel. You are a bigot, racist, xenophobe, Islamophobe, Nazi, fascist. A, compliments will get you nowhere. B, that isn't a question. And then he says this in his manifesto. What the F did you just effing say about me? I'll have you know that I graduated top of my class in the Navy SEALs, and I've been involved in numerous secret raids on Al-Qaeda, and I have over 300 confirmed kills. I'm trained in guerrilla warfare, and I'm the top sniper in the entire U.S., Armed Forces. And he goes on to talking about secret network of spies. And then this guy could be mentally ill, but the way this found itself into the manifesto, I wanted to get this out here to the audience, where he talks about access to the entire arsenal of the United States Marine Corps and use it to its full extent and blah, 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 blah. I wanted to get that stuff out there. And there's a bunch of interesting stuff in this manifesto. But Dr. Fetzer and Mr. Bennett, you guys go ahead and jump in. And the shooting was questionable as a footage. Go ahead.
Yeah, Robert, let me give you the big picture, and then Scott can fine-tune it, because okay. He's been looking at this very carefully. I've already done an hour video interview with Greg Hallett where we went through the video footage. He had a lot of clips that were slowed down. I'll just tell you that this, anyone who has seen this video footage, it's a litmus test for imbecility. This is the most ridiculous, artificial, superficial, stupid, breathtakingly stupid event. Now, I have heretofore observed that the Boston bombing was amateurish, but New Zealand makes a Boston bombing look like a production by Cecil B. DeMille. in Boston, we had the police on bullhorns calling out, this is a drill. And we've got it on video footage where you can hear them calling out. We've got participants saying, yeah, the police were there saying it was a drill. We have, to top that, the Boston Globe tweeting that a demonstration bomb is going to be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities. And a second tweet that says one will be set off in front of the library in a minute. And a minute later, in front of the Boston Public Library, one of these puff pieces is set off. And I say that as a former Marine Corps artillery officer. These explosions were to create a dramatic effect. They weren't powerful enough to kill anybody unless perhaps you'd actually been sitting right on top of them. And when you peered in from the smoke, there were bodies lying there without arms and legs, but there was no blood. As Lorraine Day, who is the head of trauma surgery for San Francisco General Hospital for 25 years, has observed, it's a physiological impossibility to have arms and legs blown off by explosives and there to be no blood. In fact, the blood only shows up later. It came out of these little orange duffel bags or fake blood kits when they cleared the area away. There were a half a dozen of them strewn in the immediate vicinity where all the attention was focused. They used amputee actors. These were people who were missing their arms and legs, were signed up. I mean, that I thought was really just the most absurd until now. This thing in New Zealand, it's modeled after a video game. You start off driving. The guy's got three weapons lying right there on the left-hand side of the floor because he's driving on the right because this is opposite than in the U.S. And they're all painted up. These weapons are painted up. Now, frankly, you don't put paint on metal parts of weapons. So, in fact, these are actually fake weapons. Craig Hallett had already identified two or three of the models they were using. They're plastic weapons. They make a noise. These are noise-making weapons. They don't actually fire real rounds. The guy comes up, drives along. I mean, there's 10 minutes of him driving along. It's really ridiculous in the beginning. Boring is all get out. But as Greg noticed, there are three different red vehicles, and the third red vehicle is a turn vehicle. There's even a cop there that directs him to turn. He parks, gets out, opens the trunk of the car, and he's got a couple of these fake weapons that are all painted up. He takes out one of them, starts walking up toward the entrance to the mosque. As soon as he gets toward the entrance to the mosque, he raises it up, and this is just like in a video game. He raises it up, and he seems to be blasting away. You'd think it was a shotgun. There are casings that are seeming to come out of the right side, but for the AR-15, it's supposed to be they would be being ejected to the rear. People are falling down, but there's no blood. There's no splatter. He goes through the building. Lots of noise. Lots of bodies. He comes into a room, and the bodies are already stacked up, and he hasn't fired a shot. I mean, this is pathetic. I mean, absolutely pathetic. And here are three key tells right off the bat. Number one, I already have been sent a tweet. It's a photograph of the Muslim director out there with one of the stuntmen, one of the actors who's got some blood now on his trousers, but he's standing there. He's perfectly fine. No one's agitated whatsoever. Second tell, New England prime minister, her name is Jacinda Ardern, without any investigation, without knowing what's going on here, says our gun laws will change, and the attorney general is declaring that they're going to confiscate all semi-automatic rifles. That's, of course, ridiculous in the extreme. Apparently, this is going on because New Zealand and the United States are the only two countries in the world where lots of the citizens have access to weapons. They're going to pull this breathtakingly stupid stunt in New Zealand. And now, because they realize belatedly that the video is so pathetic that no one who watches is going to find it believable. In fact, when he goes back to the car and starts driving away, he actually fires through the windshield, except to no effect. In fact, Greg Hallett had noticed when he was firing on this pile of bodies, you could actually see some of the clothing move because it was just firing air. It's just firing air. No bullets at all going on. And then the third tell is this New Zealand shooter, and this is related to the manifesto, called Donald Trump a symbol of white identity as he murders 29 people, right? Well, it's all total, complete bullshit. It's unreal. And you'd have to be a real sucker or a sap. But most Americans believe what they hear from the mainstream. They think if they're hearing the same thing from NBC and CNN and maybe NPR, it must be true, not realizing they're all operating off of the same elaborate script. This was clearly intended to reinforce the idea of Donald Trump. You see, this is related to the Russian hacking having fallen flat. They now realize, and they're stunned, that Robert Mueller has nothing. The whole Russia hoax was a great big nothing burger. I've got a 2-hour on it called The Russia Hoax Comes Apart at the Seams at 153news.net or BitChute, I forget which. But believe me, once you go through that, you see how the pieces fall together. You know, we've had 2.5 years of nothing but nonstop propaganda 24/7. So now they're changing. He's supposed to be a mobster, as though this guy could survive and thrive in New York City and not know how to conduct business, and a racist, which is ironic because it turns out in, 1987, he received the Ellis Island Award for tolerance in his interrelation with different races in the business community. And we have a photograph of Donald Trump receiving the Ellis Island Award with none other than Rosa Parks and Muhammad Ali. So they got their work cut out for them, and it appears they started down under. Scott.
Well, I concur with what Jim said in every word, and I'm always honored to be on with him. He nails it hard, and I've written an article about it and just put it up, and I'll just read the bullet points of the forensic analysis because I watched this entire video very closely and freeze-framed a lot of it and downloaded it before they could scrub it. And it's very important to look at the science, look at the physical evidence first, and that's really the only thing that matters. And then it leads us into, you know, why and the implications of it. But let me just start out by saying the bullet point forensic analysis. I've applied deductive reasoning to all of this as Jim does as well. And the first thing, of course, to understand is number one. No bullet holes or shattered wood or glass or clouds of sheetrock or exploding plaster or cement can be observed or heard as the guns are firing into them and the victims. This is possible only when no solid projectile is fired from the muzzle, which means no solid bullets were fired into the walls, doors, windows, or victims' bodies. Only the concussion of air, which means either blanks or paint or gas or other non-solid projectiles were fired from the guns. This means essentially nothing solid impacted the victims' bodies. Therefore, no physical damage resulted, which means no living person was lethally wounded or killed by an outside force. It's simple physics, which Newton's law establishes in the theorem, a body at rest remains at rest, a body in motion remains in motion unless acted upon by an outside force. So applied to this situation, we might similarly establish a living body remains living unless impacted by an outside force that lethally disrupts the body's life processes, such as a bullet destroying arteries and vital organs. That didn't happen in this case. There was no bullet holes whatsoever that could be observed anywhere. Number two, no blood spatter No blood spatter from the close-range impact of the high-caliber bullets upon the victims can be observed anywhere on the walls, doors, floors, or furniture. Several of the victims are shot at point-blank range as they are crawling or passing by the shooter, yet no visual impact of the bullets can be observed, which would have undoubtedly kicked or thrown the victim with tremendous force. Only one victim lying on the ground appears to have a red spray appear next to his head as he is allegedly shot, but this could be explained as a paint round, since no impact of the bullet or explosion upon the head is observed. Additionally, no pools of blood can be seen either around the bodies on the floor after being shot, except from one body, which strangely appears lying next to the first victim in the doorway, which was not present when the shooter initially entered. So this suggests the body or the actor was placed in that position with blood added afterwards. Number three, the victim's physical reactions to being shot, especially at close range, are not at all typical human reactions, as military and law enforcement experience and data confirm. Typically, the moment a person, especially a civilian, is shot, they instantly fall into a state of hysterical physical and emotional shock, delirium, panic, and desperation. Their bodies are flooded with adrenaline, triggering them to violently sprint, run, or crawl away from the source of the muzzle blast and the deafening concussion. They do not simply fold up and fall to the ground like a sack of sand and lie motionless. It is pure subconscious animalistic instinctual self-preservation that kicks in. Their body and instincts explode with movement in the first 3 seconds, and their minds have no ability to stop it. There are also no screams of horror, rage, fear, or agony filling the air, only seemingly muffled moans. Upon leaving the mosque, the shooter allegedly fires at a woman about 25 feet away at a corner of the yard, and upon walking outside, finds crying, help me, and lying on her side on the street, her face again looking away and holding her right wrist with her left hand. The shooter aims and fires at her about 5 to 7 feet away, blowing a wad of hair off of her scalp and seemingly causing a red substance to exit from her wrist, which may have been a controlled device activated by the woman's left hand, which was holding her right hand. And the clump of hair that was blown off looked like an air concussion, just moving some fake hair that was attached to a wig or something. Number five, the presence of music playing in the background during the shooting event is also quite significant. At the beginning of the event, as the shooter is walking around the property, a pipe and drums band is playing an American patriotic tune, suggesting some kind of mission equivalent of an American founding father type revolution. Then as the shooter re-enters his car to escape, a voice giving a religious sermon begins screaming a bombastic fire and brimstone punishment type intro to a song that plays as the shooter drives away, running over the woman allegedly shot on the ground. Finally, as the shooter is driving down the street several times, he presses his shotgun muzzle against the windshield of his car and fires. But the windshield is not damaged or broken or penetrated by any bullet. Instead, a smoky cloud bursts against the window and temporarily fills the cab of the car. He then fires out of the side passenger window at a man and seemingly shatters the passenger door window. This may have been caused by the muzzle of the shotgun hitting the window, of course, and not the result of a projectile being fired through it. The shooter then drives off with the music playing in the background, either from his radio or Bluetooth headset that resembles some kind of hokey Pulp Fiction-type soundtrack, and he comments on the shooting drills and challenges to his YouTube-type audience. The video then stops. So that summarizes my forensic bullet points in this incident, and I would just concur again with Jim. This resembles a Pulp Fiction airplane type film mixed with a video game feeling. This was absolutely laughable. When you see the video and you watch it, the biggest takeaway is there are no holes at all created by the bullets. There's no clouds of sheetrock or sparks of cement being hit. There's no blood. There's no impact. It is entirely a gun that is firing some sort of blanks or air concussions. And one of the biggest things is there's a scene where One of the victims allegedly runs past the shooter, squeezing by him by the door. And the shooter tilts his weapon and fires at point-blank range, yet there's no holes in the wall, no blood spatter at all, and then fires at him on the ground, and there's no blood pooling later. So that summarizes my bullet point analysis. I'll give it back to Jim.
Well, I love Scott's detailed analysis, and of course, it's completely appropriate to focus on cause and effect. We're given presumptive causes, a man who's supposed to be firing a weapon, but we're lacking what would be the expected effects. And in one case, he walks into a large room, and they're all already piled at the way at the end of the room. They're already a big pile of bodies. These are ordinary people who have no idea what acting entails, and they just think they're doing the right thing. There are available exits that no one takes because they're trying to keep up the body count in this artificial fashion. About the music, that's quite striking because in the very beginning, from the beginning, you're hearing music that sounds vaguely neo-Nazi. I mean, it's some kind of music you'd associate with the Third Reich. Let me just comment about Scott's expertise and perceptivity. When we did a show about Las Vegas, and we were looking at a photograph of the purported shooter there, Stephen Paddock, where it appears, by the way, that that body was actually of someone already deceased and they were just defrosting there on the floor. Scott noticed that the handful of shell casings included CO2 cartridges, as for gas-propelled pellet guns, and Crip cartridges from firing blanks. According to the sheriff, he fired 1,100 rounds, but, I mean, if there were two dozen or maximum three, I would say that was an exaggerated number. So I love Scott's attention to detail. I agree with everything he has been reporting here. This was absolutely stunningly bad, just god-awful. I mean, you know, you think they're going to fake something and try to take everyone's right to carry your weapons in New Zealand. They at least try to make it more authentic. I reiterate my opening statement. This is a litmus test for imbecility. This is breathtakingly stupid. And this is the reason why it's been banned in New Zealand. It's now a crime in New Zealand to have a copy of this film, because once you've taken a look, you're no longer going to believe. It's ridiculously bad. It's a joke. It could be well described as a cartoon.
Let me jump in here for a second. And this is something I noticed, because when I started looking into these, what I call just operations, all of the usual people that on YouTube that are really quick to jump on the footage and point out anomalies, none of these people were able to upload any videos concerning this. There's almost been a full scrub by Google, YouTube on that platform, where a lot of false flag or hoax, whatever you want to call these things, operations were immediately seized upon, and the silliness was pointed out by people. And so they've been building up to this point, and now it's gone almost full operational to where nobody can get on YouTube and really point out all these anomalies that you guys just threw out there.
Well, that's right. I mean, I was remarking during an earlier interview that we went through like a golden age for about 15 years when the internet really was free and open as it was intended to be. I explained to my barber when I got a haircut this week, he was saying, you know, things can go up on the internet and before you know it, they're treated as though they were true and anyone could put up anything. And I explained to him, I said, no, actually, it's completely the opposite. You put up something on the internet and there's so many there, it's like piranha attacking their prey. They're all over it. And if it can survive, it probably has merit. But what this has been so fear-inspiring to the deep state, which is control the narrative, too many inconvenient truths were emerging that they have now resorted to this massive censorship by the social media giants, where where Google and Facebook and YouTube, in my experience, to a lesser extent, Twitter, but YouTube has been particularly egregious, just taking things down right and left. It's a total violation of the compact with the American public by virtue of which they were given access to these major segments of the commons, or what is or ought to be viewed as the public grounds, in order to use for the benefit of all of the people. But they're not doing it. They've taken a political side. There's no question but what, for example, during the campaign of 2016, the media was 95% Hillary. We got nothing but Hillary, Hillary, Hillary. They actually made up polls. They deliberately oversampled Democrats. They oversampled self-identified liberals. They came up with these contorted polls, and then they started believing them themselves. Even Michael Moore, as left as he may be, was pointing out that Hillary was going to lose because she was neglecting the Rust Belt states of Pennsylvania, Ohio, Michigan, and Wisconsin, which is precisely how it played out, because studies by Boston University and the University of Minnesota have demonstrated that Trump triumphed because the voters in rural counties in those four states that had suffered high casualties from the Middle East voted for Trump, not in any sense of certainty, but in the belief that he was the less likely of the two candidates to continue those wars. Indeed, Scott and I have bemoaned that Trump hasn't been as forceful in following through on that campaign pledge, though he has followed through on many, where his efforts to pull our forces out of Syria and even Afghanistan, which I applauded immediately, have been thwarted by the deep state. So it's sort of half-assed at this point in time. He has good instincts, but he's surrounded by a whole lot of handlers. He seems not to have as good judgment as one would like in those who are advising him. But to return to the fray, I mean, the infestation of the media has a long history. It began in the 1950s when the CIA introduced Operation Mockingbird. By 1975 already, William Colby, then its director, testified to Congress that the agency owned everyone of any significance in the media. It would be followed by the article Rolling Stone 1977 by Carl Bernstein, the CIA and the media, where high officials were boasting that their greatest successes had been with Time Life, the New York Times, and CBS. Well, because of the internet, that mainstream has lost its hold. There's a diminution in the television, in the rankings. The percentage of watching the print media has suffered even more massively. Some time ago, they stopped delivering the New York Times out to my local Quick Trip and those in the community I live, 10 miles south of Madison. There just wasn't enough demand, and of course, for good reason. I refer to the New York Times as the Langley newsletter. The Washington Post equally bad, since Jeff Bezos took control of the Washington Post for $600 million, which just happened to correspond to the amount of money that they had Amazon had been given to assist with storage of information for the CIA. It's been nothing but more propaganda again and again. So, you know, the people are being squeezed here. This is a desperate effort in New Zealand. They're trying to build on this new twist they're giving to Trump. Charlottesville was a perfect illustration of trying to transform him from America First, which meant let's reallocate our resources from distant lands like the Middle East to the United States. We've squandered trillions. Better it be used here constructively to rebuild our bridges, our roads, our highways, invest in education, whatever, which we all applauded. So instead of being America First, or he's supposed to be an American nationalist, then by degrees a white supremacist, then a neo-Nazi, all of this was intended to reinforce that Charlottesville meme, which was all totally contrived. I have a book and several videos and blogs about Charlottesville. It was totally phony politically. Run by the mayor of Charlottesville, who had the Charlottesville police stand down so the governor, Terry McAuliffe, who's a long buddy of Hillary Clinton, could use the National Guard to channel the peaceful protesters into violent confrontation with Antifa and Black Lives Matter bussed in by George Soros. And then a few blocks away, they had a completely artificial car attack. There were two cars, two drivers, two or three different takes. This Heather Heyer didn't die on the scene. She died the following day. Two state troopers didn't die in the helicopter crash. We have footage and photographs of them walking away still in their flight suits. And get this, how's this for a topper? The mother, who was Susan Rose, supposed to be of Heather Heyer, also had played the mother of Victoria Soto at Sandy Hook. They used the same crisis actor in Charlottesville they used in Sandy Hook. I mean, it's that bad.
Yeah. So let's talk about some of the other ties they're trying to throw in here. Candace Owens, this black kind of Blexit individual, this guy gets thrown into this manifesto. The reborn Knights Templar. I mean, there's so many elements to this thing. It's like they're throwing everything at the wall and hoping some of this stuff sticks. It's like they've thrown everything but the kitchen sink into this operation. It's just fascinating when you look at it all.
Let me, if I can, let me give a analysis of the potential PSYOP impact behind this, if that's okay with you too, Jim.
Yeah.
I've looked at this, and I've already what I just read to you before was my forensic analysis and the deductive reasoning applying to the physical evidence and the science of it all. But then I move into what is the theoretical rationale behind the New Zealand PSYOP, and I'll read it as follows. I've translated the New Zealand PSYOP campaign into the standard metrics of an advertising campaign, which implements a specific layout of goals, objectives, strategy, and tactics, with each element working to complement, advance, and achieve the ultimate goal of the campaign. This might explain the agenda of the far.
Scott, you might want to hold that thought. We need to have a break, where the producer is reminding us we need to have a break. I think your psychological analysis is perfect for the return from the break.
Sure.
Really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
All right, we're back. And we have Incendiary Radio with Dr. Jim Fetzer and Scott Bennett. And Scott's about to get into the psychological kind of warfare angle here. And, you know, before he does that, Spyro the Dragon 3 video game, so they tie the video game thing into it, where little kids go around killing people. And then Anders Breivik and Dylan Roof, these two highly questionable operations, he mentions as heroes. Go ahead, Scott.
Okay. Well, let's see.
Take it from the top.
Yeah. Let me just bring it up here. I've translated the New Zealand PSYOP campaign into the standard metrics of an advertising campaign, which implements a specific layout of goals, objectives, strategy, tactics, with each working to complement, advance, and achieve the ultimate goal of the campaign. This might explain the agenda of the far-left globalist Democrat and how the New Zealand operation fits into a bigger picture. It's what I would do if I was a God-hating, sexual schizophrenic, liberty-fearing leftist, which thankfully I'm not. That's just my personal politics I put in there. The leftist campaign may unfold as follows. The goal, political takeover of the United States. The objective, neutralize right-wing conservative Republican Christian base of Donald Trump. The strategy, brand right-wing conservative Republican Christians as violent extremists threatening civilized society. The tactic, generate false flag events where right-wing conservative Republican Christians are blamed for acts of violent extremism, such as shooting, bombing, stage protests, government building takeovers, such as the Malheur Refuge, etc. Tactic, orient Department of Justice and all law enforcement agencies to elevate the white right-wing conservative Republican Christians to the top of the list for domestic threats and terrorist lists, and consequently increase incidents of stop, investigate, and arrest actions against this group. Tactic, increase red flag gun confiscation laws by including the justification for this action for allegations of participation in white right-wing conservative Republican Christian suspect groups or activities. And the final tactic, conduct Democrat-controlled House committee hearings on white right-wing conservative Republican Christians and directly associate President Trump with the rhetoric and beliefs of and the agenda of these groups in order to deteriorate his voter base. So that's sort of the broader picture. If I was a Democrat and a far leftist, I would, of course, use this to grab guns, outlaw guns, have all sorts of new gun control measures implemented, like Jim commented is happening in New Zealand. But the broader picture is trying to guilt trip and negatively blame Trump's essential voter base for having the same skin color, or the same religious orientation, or the same philosophical political inclinations as what they are branding as part of the manifesto. So that's kind of the shot of it, the overview. Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, let me add a slightly different perspective, I think highly complimentary from the far left watch. In the alleged manifesto from the New Zealand shooting, the terrorist states that he deliberately chose to use firearms in order to gain extra media coverage and to ultimately fracture the U.S. along cultural and racial lines. The question they raise is the media helping him achieve this goal? Why did you choose to use firearms? I could have chosen any weapon or means, a TATP-filled rental van, household flour, a method of dispersion and an ignition source, a ball-peen hammer and a wooden shield, gas, fire, vehicular attacks, plane attacks, any means were available. I had the will and I had the resources. Now, this is, I think, the key part. I chose firearms for the effect it would have on social discourse, the extra media coverage they would provide, and the effect it could have on the politics of the United States and thereby the political situation of the world. The U.S. is torn into many factions by its Second Amendment along state, social, cultural, and most importantly, racial lines. With enough pressure, the left wing from the left wing within the United States will seek to abolish the Second Amendment, and the right wing within the U.S. will see this as an attack on their very freedom and liberty. This attempted abolishment of rights by the left will result in a dramatic polarization of the people of the United States and eventually a fracturing of the U.S. along cultural and racial lines. Now, I don't think this guy himself is smart enough to have sorted this out, but I do think this idea of pushing for gun control when it's a manifest absurdity on its face. I mean, after all, when you take guns away from law-abiding citizens, those who have the guns are not abiding by the law. You're just creating massive free fire zones. The question that would be appropriately raised here is, had this been real, what if some of the members of the mosque had been armed, had been packing, had concealed carry? This wouldn't have happened. You wouldn't have had this mass slaughter. After Orlando, which was another completely fake event, the club had actually the permit for the club had actually expired 3 years before, that they had repainted the club from white to black because it was closed. It only had 150 legal occupancy. If you had and 11 parking spaces, if you had over 300 crammed in, as they claimed, there would have been abandoned vehicles all over the place, but they were not there because none of this took place. It was all completely phony. So you get these elaborate reports and people swoon and they gasp and the tears are brought to their eyes, but it's just words. There's no reality corresponding to the words. It's absolutely, completely, totally, 100% bullshit. 100%. Even in Orlando, the Orlando Emergency Medical Center announced they weren't going to charge for services rendered. Well, when's the last time you heard of a hospital not charging for a Band-Aid? They weren't charging for services rendered because they rendered no services. It's like at Sandy Hook, at Boston, at Orlando, no string of ambulances, no surge of EMTs. There was no emergency medical response at any of these events. And so far as I can tell, it's similar in New Zealand. Look, this whole thing took quite a while for him to go through his song and dance, and the police never even showed up. I mean, they never even showed up. So I'm telling you, we have a lot of stupidity out there. You got 100 million armed Americans who didn't vote for Hillary Clinton, and they think they're going to take away our guns? I mean, that's what's right about this guy. If the left keeps pushing for this completely moronic agenda, and I can't think of anything more dumb than to disarm Americans, then you can't protect your home or your family. You can't protect your community or society. You can't protect your nation. Remember, Emperor Hirohito contemplating invading the United States, but his advisors warned him there'd be a sniper behind every blade of grass. Take that away, and we're a sitting target. As Dave Hodges has emphasized, there were 19 demo sites during the 20th century, each of which was preceded by gun confiscation. We cannot let the United States become number 20.
Hey, now let me jump in here and read a little bit of this. I thought this was a good observation by Yoichi Shimatsu. The driver parks in an alley, leaving the three shotguns on the floor of the passenger seat, and opens the hatchback to retrieve a semi-auto rifle and then another one. As he walks toward the mosque, the character Tarrant has forgotten to close the tailgate window, leaving two other rifles and plastic jugs of gasoline unattended, meaning he was entirely confident that the Christchurch police or latecomers to the religious service were not going to arrive, see his cache, and, you know, so forth and so on. So he leaves the hatchback of his vehicle wide open with all the weapons and things in there. He runs in. He allegedly does all this damage. Then he returns to the vehicle, grabs other weapons, goes back in there. And he does, I mean, if you watch this thing a couple times, he's just shooting off into, like, down an alley for a while. It looks like nothing. The entire thing was just strange how he just walked in there and nobody did anything. And then there's nobody running around screaming. It was all like Scott said at the beginning, anybody that watches this more than once and really takes all these, anomalies in is just going to have to come away with it. And say this was, and then John Podesta being there 24 hours prior. We didn't even talk about that yet, but just strange thing.
You're kidding. John Podesta was there 24 hours prior? That's incredible.
That's all over on various websites. He was praising this socialist prime minister, Miss Jacinda.
Crazy. She's obviously a puppet. I mean, she's a tool. She's a nitwit. I mean, you know. Look, what you would do if you were serious and say, well, we got to study this. We got to find out what really happened. We're going to have to invoke an investigation very thoroughly. None of that. They already know the answer because it was state. They already have this. They've already read the script. So they know what happened. It was in accordance with the script. Embarrassingly bad. Embarrassingly bad. I mean, really, breathtakingly stupid.
Jim, let me just say, I just tried to upload that video on a different YouTube account that I had, and it took exactly 10 to 15 seconds for them to flag it and remove it.
Well, I think I've got it up already at 153news.net. So I'll get the link out. I'm going to put up your critique on my blog at jamesfetzer.org and embed some of what we're talking about here, some of these images. But, you know, for the, all this stuff, I mean, it's so transparent when they start talking about a shooting in New England and Donald Trump as a symbol of white identity? Give me a break. Give me a break. This is ridiculous. This is just unbelievably stupid. And you know.
Well, see, the other thing, Jim, that needs to be looked at is, you know, this is such an affront. This is such an attack upon everybody. This has very hostile implications. And when I hear Donald Trump Jr., saying on his tweet, do not watch this video, do not forward it, do not share it, that's a red flag. When I hear Laura Ingraham, of course, we're not going to review this video, we're not going to show it, we're not going to give him what he wants, that's a red flag. So you have these people participating or pushing this this thing, you know, trying to blame it like it really happened. And when I did an interview on Press TV the night after it happened, I was one of the first people at 3:30 in the morning. I did a Press TV interview and I said, this whole thing smells and looks false, fabricated, fake. And it started to evolve from there. However, it's telling that Press TV has had other guests and people on there, except Kevin Barrett. Kevin's been one of the few ones who says this is looks like a false flag. But most of these people at Press TV are falling into the alluring trap of using this to attack Trump, to attack the white Christian sort of inequalities of America, to use this as a bludgeoning weapon to be critical of the U.S. And as much as I can understand their desire to be angry and get revenge for sanctions and things like that, this is absolutely the wrong thing to be citing because it is obviously so fake. It's so false. And it's something that we need to step back. And as mature, cold-blooded surgical analysts, not tolerate for a second anyone on planet Earth that tries to sell this as a real event. The science and the physical evidence disprove this as occurring at all. This is an absolute scripted false shooting using blanks. Go ahead.
Let me jump in here for a second. Let me give you another layer of the PSYOP. Okay, we know about Ilhan Omar, the Somali congresswoman from Minnesota. And I just saw this floating around out here. Chelsea Clinton just got and a bunch of the folks in the Democratic Party, of course, had to tap dance to the AIPAC masters and kind of throw her under the bus and so forth. Chelsea Clinton just got confronted by a bunch of Muslims here somewhere in the United States, basically ripping on her, saying her Islamophobic remarks against Ilhan Omar and so forth, because they were trying to basically stick up for AIPAC, helped cause this. So now you're seeing people on the American left side of the political spectrum actually that wanted to throw Omar under the bus, so to speak, getting their kind of payback by all these people because they believe that this thing happened and so forth and so on. But they're kind of eating their own over there on that side. Kind of interesting just to
see. Well, Ilhan Omar belongs in the pantheon of modern heroes along with Edward Snowden, Julian Assange, Cynthia McKinney. She has initiated an open discussion about Israel's influence over our Congress that's long, long, long overdue. When Cynthia McKinney gave an interview to Marzi Hashimi in 2011 on Press TV about the pledge, I mean, the word should have gotten out, but then the word already was out. Everyone in Congress knew they'd already taken the pledge. A friend of mine in JFK research, Gary King, 2 years ago, turned to me and did I know how many members of the present Congress had not taken the pledge? And I admitted I didn't. He held up one finger in one hand. There was one member of Congress who hadn't, of the then present Congress, who hadn't taken the pledge, meaning to put the interests of Israel ahead of those of the United States. Cynthia was so endearing when she's talking with Marzi, and she's saying, Well, I don't know. I guess I was the first person to talk about it. I mean, how wonderful. She's a marvelous person. And this Omar, I admire her beyond words. I mean, this is a little petite woman. She can't be 5'2". She can't weigh over 90 pounds. And yet what she has done here is so powerful. And the consequences are going to reverberate for a very long time.
You know, the problem with Miss Omar, though, is she's wrong just about on everything else. So
yeah,
this is the PSYOP with her. She's right on the AIPAC influence angle, but she's an open borders, gun-grabbing, socialist, welfare distribution nut. And so you can be right on one issue, and then you're wrong on the rest of it. That doesn't do us that much good. That's the problem. Yeah.
Well, I say anyone who can get the issue of Israel's domination over the United States onto the table in a matter of public discussion has done a tremendous benefit for the country, just as Donald Trump has by calling out the fake news media. If Donald Trump had done nothing more, he would have performed an enormous service, because too many Americans naively assume that the press is actually responsible and fulfilling its public obligation of trying to sort out the true from the false, when in fact it's doing nothing but publish one concocted phony story after another. So I'm going to take the good where I can find it, and the good that Omar is contributing on Israel and the good Trump is contributing on the fake media is overwhelmingly positive. I value them tremendously for that. Every single politician out there is flawed. And you go on the Democratic side, you've got so many who have so many preposterous positions that are of no benefit to the American people and damaging to the country. Omar is no worse than them on all those other accounts, and overwhelmingly better than them in relation to AIPAC and Israel.
Now, you'll see Ken posted in the chat, gentlemen, that picture of Podesta with the strange spirit cooking numbers on his hands, and how it, let's just say, looks like it was on this gentleman's rifle. Do you see all that floating around out there online?
Well, see, this was a toy. This is a toy weapon. This isn't a real weapon. Sure. In fact, Greg Hallett had already identified where you can buy these realistic-looking weapons, but they paint them. It's a form of camouflage, so you won't realize it's just made of heavy plastic. I mean, it's a joke. This is a joke. John Podesta being down there, that's vile. Sure. Podesta appears to have given the instruction to take out Seth Rich, who was the DNC IT guy who downloaded the files, because he was a supporter of Bernie Sanders, and he was disillusioned that Debbie Wasserman Schultz had been sabotaging Bernie's campaign, giving 13 primaries that Bernie had won, for example, to Hillary to guarantee she'd be the nominee, so that he downloaded the files directly from the server with the assistance of Kim.com, who's openly acknowledged having performed this action. I had Bill Binney on my own show, who's like our leading cybersecurity expert, acknowledging that, in fact, it had been done at a rate too rapid to have been distant Russian hacking and in the Eastern time zone. I mean, all of this is monstrous. So Podesta put out the hit that he wanted somebody to be set an example, and he wasn't all that concerned whether the evidence that they had or hadn't been leaking was rock solid or not. I mean, what should have been the immediate red flag was that the DNC wouldn't allow the FBI to inspect the servers that had purportedly had been hacked, because, of course, they knew perfectly well there had been no hacking. It was a leak. I mean, this is disgusting. We've had to put up for 2.5 years with this Russian hacking meme that have no foundation from the beginning whatsoever, and the mainstream has been relentless about it. I mean, gag me with a spoon.
Let me run this kind of angle I'm seeing floating around here by both of you gentlemen. You know, this deep state day of reckoning that they keep talking about, and something big, right? We're on the cusp of, okay? So basically, here's the narrative that some are throwing out here. That basically this is, you know, MI6 being involved with the Steele dossier and Obama and Hillary and this coup against Trump.
Yeah.
And so basically the paradigm here is that basically this is an MI6 type of operation to kind of, Podesta down there as a Hillary rep, as basically to kind of, and this is in one of these Q drops about a false flag, to try to distract us from what's really coming. Have you guys looked into this angle, and what do you think of it?
Well, what's supposed to be coming? You know, what
well,
we
this
tracking?
Day of reckoning. This, you know, these arrests that we've all been hearing about. All
well,
this time.
Let me just say, I look at everything from the optics of what do the American people see and hear. I personally don't go down the rabbit holes of QAnon, is Q real or is he not? I don't buy into or listen to trust Sessions, trust the plan, 60,000 indictments or of sexual predators. All of that may be happening. It may be real. It may be true. People go into Gitmo. It may be, the indictments given to people at Bush's funeral. That may be, but I don't buy into it. I stand back. I trust no one. I question everything. And the safest path is, what do the average Americans see and hear? What is the average optics? And that shows you, what we know is what we see and hear. Yes, we see and hear and know this video to be fake. But all of these other things are dangerously distracting. And you can already see, and I've had people I know who were passionately adamant about, trust Sessions and trust the plan and questioned and Q and all that. And I said, no, I don't fall into that. I'm not going to go that way. And now people are kind of going, well, it doesn't look like it. There's something funny. Is Trump real? Is he fake? And, we need to kind of step back from all of that and be aggressive, leaning forward and attacking lies with truth. And that's why this shooting event in New Zealand is really the goose that laid the golden egg that keeps on giving, because nothing can take this video down. We've already downloaded it, I think hopefully millions of people have. And this really shows you the conspiracy of people in the New Zealand government, people in the Australian government, people in the Australian media, the police departments, the United States, Fox News, everyone under the sun who's selling the idea that this is real is a liar and a traitor or a fool. I can stomach fools. I can stomach ignorance because people can be healed of that. But I will never stomach traitors or liars or bullies who try to push this to push an agenda. And this is something we should be morally outraged beyond words. So furious, so sick and tired, and so outraged that we are on the hunt, on the warpath, within diplomatic respectable means. We never want to do anything crazy. We never want to do anything that could be labeling us as some sort of a violent element in society. No, we go on the attack by saying this entire event is physically and scientifically impossible. That's it. That's all we need to discuss is the science and the physical facts do not match. And when I drove by the Pentagon the day after 9/11, I was doing my doctorate work up at Catholic University, and I was driving by George Washington Parkway the day after the Pentagon was hit. I remember looking at the Pentagon and seeing a big blue tarp, no plane parts, no engines, no skid marks on the grass, nothing. Now, it didn't hit me till many years later, but I was there at the event, and I still shake my head and say to myself, how in the hell did I not say anything? How did I not see that? How did I not get that? Well, it was because we were overwhelmed in a tidal wave of propaganda, psyops, guilt trips. If you don't buy into this, you're an anti-American. If you don't believe that this happened with a bunch of Saudi Arabians on a plane, you hate America. We heard that from Hannity, and we heard that from everybody, and Jim was one of the victims of it. But I thank God for Jim Fetzer because he helped enlighten us.
All right, there's the break. We will be right back, folks. Stay with us.
Homeowners, Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.